Every Sunday morning as we confess our statement of faith, especially as the United Methodists believe, we say what we call the Apostles' Creed. Many other denominations have confessions of faith that were developed from catechisms in the churches years ago. When people would be joining the churches, they would have to learn these catechisms, and these catechisms involved questions and then answers as stated in the Bible, and some of them were pages and pages long. As United Methodists, being that we are not a confessional church, so to speak, our confession of faith is rooted in and founded in the Apostles' Creed, that we believe in a triune God, and in that we state what we believe about God, about His Son, and about the Holy Spirit, which is the foundation of true Orthodox Christianity. Here in the Apostles' Creed, we find the foundational doctrines of Christianity from the very early days, and it's what defines true Christianity from a cult in our culture today. And you'll find many will come to you and start talking about Jesus and try and convince you that Jesus was not truly God, that the Holy Spirit is just a power source or an energy source and not truly a person. And we're going to explore that in the next few weeks, because we state what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed was a creed that was developed, we're not sure exactly when. It was sometime probably in the latter part of the first century. And it was the early creed of Christians as they were baptized. The question was asked, do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Yes. And then they were under and brought back up. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and so on? Yes. They go down under. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the Universal Church? Yes. And they go back down under. It was the early statement of faith for Christians, because in order to state what we believe and what we're all about, we had to have something concrete. So this was developed and called the Apostles' Creed. Later on in the 4th century, which would have been the 300s, because of heresies that were arising at the time and challenging, was Jesus really God, and so on and so forth, they had a council meeting in Nicaea, and they come up with the Nicene Creed, which actually takes the Apostles' Creed and gets much more technical about who Jesus is, the personhood of Jesus, and the fact that Jesus is truly God in the flesh. But what I want to begin with today is what we state in the very beginning. We believe in God the Father Almighty. Now, the question first I want to ask is why? We say it every Sunday morning here. Sometimes we say it and we don't even really know what we're saying, because we're just repeating it every Sunday, that we believe in God the Father Almighty. Why do we believe in God the Father Almighty? You see, why is this what we believe? It's the basis of our faith. So what is our faith based on, in that we believe in God the Father Almighty as the starting point? You see. And it ends up, as we learn about this morning, it's not simply what we believe or that we believe in God the Father Almighty. It's actually what we believe about God based on what God says. In other words, we believe God Himself and what He says. Earlier in the book of Genesis, if you read through the very beginning, the writer of Genesis speaks about the Lord God, the Lord God, the Lord God. God said, and the Lord God. But we come to the 17th chapter, and by this time, God has developed the relationship with Abraham, Abram, as he was called back then. And here we find, in the 17th chapter, God comes to Abram, and He describes Himself. God describes Himself. Abraham was 99 years old when this happened. And the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. Okay? What did this really mean? to Abraham. What does it mean to us today when we believe in God the Father Almighty? First of all, when we state that we believe in God the Father Almighty, we're not stating that God is male, that he's a man. That would not be biblically accurate. When the Bible writers spoke of God the Father, and Jesus spoke about speaking to or praying to the Father, he was speaking in terms of, and the Bible teaches us in terms of, that God is a father figure. He's the head. He's the one that has the knowledge and makes the decisions, and based on what he says and what direction he wants to go, because he's the one that knows, the rest of the family does and is obedient to him. That makes sense in that culture of that day, see. So God comes to Abram and he says, I am God Almighty. When he says this, he's making a profound statement. God's making a profound statement. The word, or the in the ancient text, when you read about the word Lord, earlier in Genesis, the Lord God, the Lord God. This Lord, being all capitals, L-O-R-D, is Jehovah. And Jehovah in the Hebrew language means self-existent one. I am the self-existent one. In other words, I don't exist because of something else. I am self-existent. I'm the one who exists, and I'm the one who causes existence. And it implies, speaking of the Lord in this way, a self-existent God, it implies a personal or covenant relationship. And this is really where you get into the depth of this God that we worship, the Lord God, Jehovah God. Meaning he's the self-existent God. He doesn't exist because of some other God. And it implies that we have a personal, or can have a personal and covenant relationship with him. That's important in our faith, you see. Because at that time, and even today, many believe in other gods and worship other gods that they can't have a personal relationship with. And when I'm talking about a personal relationship, I'm talking about one where God knows how we feel, and he's concerned about how we feel and what we're going through. He's concerned about us in general, and we're concerned that, are we pleasing our God? Are we living like our God wants to? And in this personal relationship, we're conversing with God. It's back and forth, you see, and we trust that because God loves us, he's going to do certain things for us and for our benefit. So this is the Jehovah, self-existent God, whom we can have a personal or covenant relationship with. And that's important here as we go on a little bit. I am God Almighty. God in the Hebrew language is El. And here God Almighty is El Shaddai. El Shaddai, God Almighty. God all-powerful. Let's see. I am the Lord God, Jehovah God, all-powerful. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself here a little bit, so I want to talk first of all about the seven I wills here of God. He comes to Abraham, and there's so much here. We don't have enough time this morning to talk about this, and I was talking to our confirmands the other night about this. This is the stuff that I really get into. I really dig. Because we see the character of God here. Our God, Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal God, who's all-powerful. He comes to the man. He has a plan, see. And he comes to the man and opens up dialogue with him. And what does he do? He sets up a covenant. Well, isn't that what his actual name implies? A personal covenant relationship. He comes to the man and establishes this personal covenant relationship with the man. I will confirm my covenant. I will greatly increase your numbers. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant. I will give as an everlasting possession the land of Canaan, and I will be your descendants' God. Seven I wills there. Now, as we understand this, in God's as God's promises. We understand because he's all powerful means he's able to fulfill his promises of I will. Okay? Some of these have come to fulfillment. Some of them are to come to fulfillment yet through Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God set up through Jesus Christ. You see, we know that Abram's descendants, if you read the New Testament and study the Bible, that the true descendants of Abraham are the ones who've come to salvation by faith, because it says Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So the true children of Abraham are those who have faith in God's covenant promises and his covenant promises in the new covenant that Jesus set up was through his blood shed on Calvary. I hope that's starting to make sense. The new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And as we believe in that and receive it, and it becomes the basis of our faith and our salvation and forgiveness and the hope of eternal life, we start not only to believe in God, but we actually believe God, knowing that what he has said, he's powerful enough to accomplish and will accomplish. And he's come to us and set that new covenant up through Jesus. So he's truly this Lord Jehovah God, all-powerful, almighty. You see, these are seven I wills, seven promises that God says. In the world of marketing today, we have all these different claims, you see, about all the things that we're supposed to buy, that we're supposed to believe, that we're supposed to buy into. We love our prefixes, don't we? We love our little words, mega, ultra, pro strength, king size, extra value. We love those kind of things that tell us something about the product, that try and get us to believe that this product is going to be beneficial for us. And the way that we find out whether it is or isn't, we go and we spend the money, or we somehow try it out to find out. And oftentimes we find out it's not what it's promised to be. And I say to people, when I say, what do you believe about God? Well, they really stumble. They don't know what to believe. They don't know what to say that they believe. They don't know how to define it, really. We define it in the Apostles' Creed, and I believe in God the Father Almighty. Why? Because God has done great things in my life. And if we were to sit and share them all, it would take all afternoon. Because I've tried this, see. God has presented himself to me and offered something to me in a relationship or a covenant. And I've stepped into that and said, I'm going to try it. And I found it to be true. Over and over and over and over and over again. It never wears out. It never grows old. It never breaks. Because it's God's promise. So I find personally, and we find as Christians, that our faith in God and this foundation of our belief in God the Father Almighty is not that we believe in him, is that we actually believe him. And I tell people that's the beauty of the Bible. When we start taking the Bible and applying it to our own lives, we start to find out, wow, this is really true. This really, I hate to say it this way, but this really works. This is the way it is. Over and over and over again. That God's the mega, the ultra, the pro strength, all those little things. And I wanna kind of wrap up here by getting into the three omnis of God. Because if we believe in God the Father Almighty, there's so much to that. We believe in Jehovah, identifying who he is. He's a self-existent God who has a personal and covenant relationship with his people. But more so, he's not just mighty, he's almighty. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. Wow, what does that mean? Well, first of all, this word omni comes from a Latin word, omnis. Combined together means he's all and he's everywhere. I want you to think about the immensity of that. He's all everywhere. He's all everywhere. Okay? Omni. All everywhere. Omnipotent, omnipotent, having authority or power. God has all authority and all power everywhere. Now, if he just had that, and that was a characteristic of his, well, that would be okay. That would be a reason to praise him. But what if he didn't use that? And what if he didn't use it for our benefit, you see? But first, and secondly, we understand that having all authority and all power everywhere comes from knowing everything. His power would be limited if he didn't know everything. Which leads us to the second, he's omniscient. Let's see. He's omniscient. He's all everywhere knowing. He's all knowing. Having all authority and power and all knowing. There isn't anything that God doesn't know. There isn't anything God doesn't know. People say, people think they can hide something from God. They can fool God. You can't fool God. God is all knowing. He knows everything. In fact, he knows it before it's going to happen. That's really kind of funny. That as we live our lives and things happen, we think we can hide things from God, and God already knows about them. So it doesn't make sense to try and hide anything. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient, all knowing, all powerful, in all authority. And lastly, he's omnipresent. He's present in all places at all times. All knowing, all powerful, having all authority everywhere in all places at all times. God right now is in the past. God right now is in the present. And God right now is in the future. Wrap your minds around that for a second. That's a little tough to wrap our minds around. But God's outside of time, see. Time isn't with God like it is with us. Now, I want to ask you, we believe in God the Father Almighty, all-powerful, having all authority, all knowledge, and being in all places at all times. He's self-existent. He causes existence. But yet he's a personal God who can have a covenant relationship. In my little life, wow, and this is the psalmist writes, when I consider the works of your hands, the stars, the moon, the sun, what's man that you're mindful of him? Who are we that God should even care about us? You see, who are we that God should even love us? He knows who we are. He knows what we're going to do. He's present at all times, having all authority or power. And I don't know about you folks, but that's somebody that I want in my life. Because never will I know everything. I can't be present in all places at all times, although some people expect me to be. I'm not all powerful, having all power and all authority, and I've never met anybody that had all three of these. But that's somebody that we really need in our lives. Because when the times come that we feel helpless, I think of Jehoshaphat and the people as they stood before God. They said, we're powerless. We don't know what to do. They didn't have the knowledge. They didn't have the power. They just simply didn't know what to do. They were frozen. Have you ever felt frozen in your condition to the point where it seems so dire or so dark that you just simply didn't know what step to take next, what direction to turn, what move to make? But you know what Jehoshaphat said? Our eyes are fixed on you. But our eyes, Lord, are fixed on you. And that's the time when we really need to say, wait a second. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Why do I believe in God the Father Almighty? Because I believe God the Father Almighty, and God the Father Almighty promises He will never leave me nor forsake me, that His plans are not for destruction, that God works all things for good for those who love Him. And that's me that He's talking about in His Word. You see, I remember when I was a young boy, my grandmother and grandfather lived, oh my gosh, just as far as from here to the end of the parking lot, across the alley from my mother and father where we lived. And there was a garage that separated the houses, that going out of my house, I had to go out of the garage. And in the back door of my parents, or my grandparents' house, and some of those nights going over there, it was very dark, and I was scared of the dark. And just knew that some night I was going to round the corner of the garage, and there the boogeyman was going to be, and he was going to grab me. Unfortunately, my dad did one night to scare me, and that was not a good thing. But I found a lot of comfort as I would run to my grandparents' house and eventually walk to be saying, and not to myself, but out loud, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. I would repeat the Apostles' Creed. And you want to know what it did? It chased the boogeyman away. And I think we know who I'm talking about. And it does, because it's more powerful than anything he can try and make us believe, to get us to disbelieve in God and disbelieve in God's power and disbelieve what God says. And one of the beauties of the Bible is we have God's promises. From the beginning to the end, the Bible calls God the Lord God Almighty. And we're going to talk about next week some of the mighty things that only God can do and has done and will do. But we need to remember He is Jehovah, the self-existent God who exists and causes existence, and a God who comes to us desiring a personal relationship with us. He wasn't created by the Big Bang. Even the scientists can't explain what started the Big Bang, but the Christians can. And it wasn't a Big Bang. It was the Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the sea, who has all authority and power, knows all things, and best of all, is present in all places at all times. We believe God is who He says He is. And here this morning we find that God says, I'm God Almighty, and I will do what I do because I'm all powerful, I'm all knowing, and I'm present in all places and all times. I hope that's a source of comfort for you this morning, because this is the God that we know. This is the God that we worship, and we profess our Christian faith beginning with our great Almighty God. Let's pray.